the Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. I'm pretty sure she's taking your breath away at least more than once. She's Zoe Bell, stunt woman supreme, and now acting and producing as well with a new movie. And we get the details right here. Plus, the networks staged their own Red Wedding, What Happened to Your Favorite Show, and what publisher is eating at DC's market share. Let's get to the point.
This is the point. The Point Radio. Get the Point Radio.
Everybody may not know the name, but you sure do know the moves. She's Zoe Bell, accomplished stunt woman who's been doing it, well, since the days of Xena Warrior Princess, all the way through that and into some great roles in Quentin Tarantino movies, among dozens of others. Zoe's also acting and producing as well, but I was curious as to how it all got started. Was she a rough and tumble kind of kid?
I've been asked that question quite a few times, though, like, was I a tough little kid? And I have conflicting memories. I remember I always liked being up high. I liked going fast. I kind of liked getting dirty and disappearing into the forest for days on end. Well, probably more like hours. But I also remember, like, loving my Barbie dolls and having imaginary princess strawberry friends and having my favorite Christmas dress. So I think it was probably a bit of a mixture. Then I discovered gymnastics, and I think that's pretty much where it all started. I was watching people flip, just like, made my heart sore, and I figured I should probably try and do it. And so I got into gymnastics, and I think from there it was sort of, it's less about the adrenaline rush and more about the sort of, conquering something, you know, like learning something, breaking it down and seeing if my body can make that happen. And, yeah, I'm sure I was a bit of a ruffian at some point, though. But
it took a bump on somebody's head to move Zoe into the business.
I did gymnastics, and then when I got too old, you know, when you're 16, you're too old to do gymnastics anymore, too old and too tall, I started martial arts because it sort of seemed like it wasn't heightist, and it was still using your legs and jumping around and doing cool, fun stuff. And through gymnastics and martial arts, I met a couple of guys that turned out to be stuntmen. And I honest to God, didn't know that the career of a stunt person really existed until I met these guys, and they became friends of mine, and they started talking about what their work consisted of. And it just seemed ludicrous to me that I not be doing it. Subconsciously, I think I was just putting it out in the cosmos everywhere I could. I was talking about it. You couldn't shut me up about it. And I'd read articles about it and see stuff on TV about it. And it just sort of ended up that my dad, he's a doctor, and a guy came in with a pump on his head and turned out to be a stuntman. And my dad was like, right, I need to shut my daughter up. You need to give me a phone number so she can call this guy and maybe become a stunt girl.
Since she's done it all, I had to ask, is there a difference between TV and movie stunt work?
In terms of the skill set required for TV and movie, it's pretty much the same thing, especially these days with TV being sort of the film-type quality it is. But the main difference, I would say, is just sort of the speed and rehearsal time. You know, like on a movie, everyone knows exactly what the action's going to be ahead of time, hopefully. And if the budget's big enough, you've got rehearsal time. You've got time to choreograph fights. You've got time to rehearse gags. You've got time to work with the actresses and actors and the stunt people. When you're on set, if you need to shoot again, the reset, you can take time with the reset. It does take time. TV is a little bit more fast turnover. It's far more fast turnover. So it's sort of, you usually don't get as much rehearsal time. There's a lot of sort of like, we need a fight tomorrow. Let's make it up now and let's have them learn it this evening and then shoot it first thing in the morning. But I think it's not often you come across a stunt person who owns or specializes in film or TV. I mean, it's much the muchness, really.
Raise is a new movie starring Zoe and Rachel Nichols from Continuum as well. Zoe not only acts in the film as a star, but she also produces it.
It's basically, you follow one woman's story, but the premise is that there's a society that every however many years kind of has this sick and twisted ritual of kidnapping 50 women and forcing them to fight to the death. And so that's basically, you're in that world for a lot of the movie, which is a pretty harrowing world. My part in it is I play a character by the name of Sabrina. And I'm also one of the producers, so this movie is sort of my little baby in a lot of different ways. I feel pretty personally towards it. I'm really proud of it. It's really weird. You know, you're basically watching an hour and a half of people kind of dying and killing and crying and being miserable. And every time I watch it, I grow more and more fond of it. I'm not sure what that says about me.
So now, having done action, acting, and producing, what's next? Directing or writing?
I'll tell you what. I've thought about all of it. What I have noticed so far is making the leap from even just from stuntwoman to actor has required a lot of very conscious, directed energy, because it's hard for people to see you in a box different to the one they originally put you in, especially if you're well known for that sort of area, you know. So it's taken a long time for me to get people to take me seriously as an actor. It took me a little minute to take myself seriously as an actor, actually, which was probably the first step. But so I kind of feel like I need to master that. And if I'm going to walk into, and I, you know, I've produced one film, I'm in the process of developing a couple of other ideas and stuff. Directing I would love to do, but I want to walk into that super prepared and super educated, you know. So that'll be a little bit further down the track, I think.
Zoe's highlight reel is pretty incredible, with some amazing stunt work. And I ask her of all that, which one she's the most proud of.
It's so funny, because I feel like if it was in a slightly more obscure movie or less people knew about it, it would be kind of somehow less of a cliche answer. But it's pretty hard for me to go past the chase sequence in Death Proof. I mean, it was sort of... And listen, that's a team effort. Like, I couldn't have... If that was me on my own, I would have been on the bonnet of a stationary, empty, parked car, and that would have been very boring. But, I mean, that's one of those sequences. It's one of the few sequences I watch to this day, and I've seen it a long time. I still flinch. You know, I usually don't even flinch the first time watching stuff I've done, because I know exactly what happened, and I know better than anybody that I've come out the other side safe. But that particular chase sequence, I just think we just got all the elements right. We just had an amazing team. We had, like, crazy amounts of speed with a human on the front of a moving vehicle, Kurt Russell driving one of the cars. You know, it was just sort of an epic. Wow. It's just an epic sequence, and it's definitely one that even when I was watching dailies when we were shooting, I remember vividly having the thought that was, holy crap, I'm so glad that I'm a part of this, because if I watched the sequence and I wasn't a part of it, I would just be hurting that I'd not been involved.
Zoe Bell, along with Rachel Nichols, right now in Rays, available on DVD. You can get it on Amazon in both regular DVD and on Blu-ray. No shortage here. Lots going on. Here's the latest in pop culture. Over the weekend, Community showrunner Dan Harmon seemed to change his tune. As you probably have already heard, Community was one of the many shows axed by the networks. NBC dropped the hammer on that one at the end of last week, and Harmon pretty much accepted it, saying he was ready to move on. Now he said he's interested in talking to other sources who might want to pick up the show. No word on yet on whether those sources do exist, but at least there is some rumors that maybe it is not the end. In the meantime, we'll give you the whole rundown of which shows were given the axe. And there's a bunch on all the networks. We'll run down the full list for you coming up here in just a bit. Axe Body Spray is one of the folks partnering with X-Men Days of Future Past to offer some movie-themed products. This is kind of interesting, though. It's a gift set with the tagline, to unlock the superpower of confidence. It includes a body spray, shower gel, and antiperspirant in one of the four existing Axe fragrances, including one called Phoenix, which has absolutely no connection to the character. There's a limited edition free poster also included, and the body spray set is available on shelves right now. As the fall schedules for television start to come together, two interesting things at Fox. One is finally a home for the Batman prequel Gotham. That'll be in the Monday at 8 o'clock slot starting in the fall. More interestingly than that, though, is a move for the comedy Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's being moved to Sunday nights to be sandwiched somewhere in the animation block that's been a mainstay at Fox for almost a decade, maybe even longer. No word yet on exactly where it fits in, but it'll be somewhere along the lines of between Simpsons and Family Guy. Well, the hammer's dropped, and we pretty much know what's going as far as television goes this year. NBC, CBS, ABC, and the CW have announced the shows they will not be bringing back, and some of those are kind of surprising. NBC canceled Community, Growing Up Fisher, Dracula, Believe, Crisis, and Revolution. It did pick up Parenthood, though, for a 13-episode sixth, and they say final season as well. And Hannibal will be back for season three on the network. The Blacklist of the biggest success on NBC as far as dramas go this last year will return to their schedule in February of 2015. Parks and Rec was not on the list, but they say it will be returning for a seventh season, more than likely plugged in when needed, sometime around mid-year. At ABC, Nashville's back for a third season, Last Man Standing for a fourth, and The Middle for a sixth season as well. In the meantime, CBS canceled the Robin Williams comedy, The Crazy Ones, and new shows like Friends with Better Lives and Bad Teacher, as well as Hostages and Intelligence. But they renewed The Mentalist for season seven. Over on TBS, Cougar Town is back for one more time as sixth and final season, but they have canceled Men at Work. Marvel surges ahead, Image grabs the graphic novel market, and some not-so-good news for DC. That's the way it looks as far as comic sales for the month of April. That DC story seems to be the most disturbing. A report shows that some comic book buyers are shifting their dollars from DC titles to smaller publishers. We'll analyze all the sales for comic stores in April, coming up in just a little bit. Well, the Seth MacFarlane TV reboot didn't work, but it looks like the Flintstones may be headed back to the big screen. This time, Adam McKay and Will Ferrell are producing. It'll be an animated feature, which means that Ferrell will probably do a voice as well. They're looking for directors right now for the project and then scheduling it for some time over the next couple of years. The next DC Universe original movie direct on DVD will be Batman: Assault on Arkham, set in the world of Batman's Arkham video game. It's a film that takes place somewhere between the Batman Arkham Origins and the Batman Arkham Asylum games. Voices include Kevin Conroy returning as Batman, Neil McDonough as Deadshot, and also CCH Pounder as Amanda Waller. It'll be available in Blu-ray combo and regular DVD as well in August.
Here's what's cool.
There's plenty to keep you going this week in the comic shop, starting with The Authority. You've heard your friends talk about that great Warren Ellis series with art by Brian Hitch and Paul Neary from back in the early part of the decade. Well, now you can get the first 12 issues contained in one pretty nicely priced trade paperback this week from DC. Also from DC, the DC Comics Demon Driven Out series, which actually contains the six-issue miniseries from 2003. And there's a JSA Omnibus 2 that collects all the work Jeff Johns did with that comic. A ton of stories. A little pricey at a little over $100, but still a nice volume. Justice League United gets a first issue this week. New 52, Futures End, gets a second weekly issue. And Doomed continues in Action Comics number 31 and Superman Doomed number 1. From IDW, 24 number 1 sold out. Got a second printing of that this week. Mars Attacks Firstborn has a different take on that franchise, this time by the Max's Sam Keith. The Star Trek Annual gets a second printing, and Star Trek New Visions is a photo novel done by John Byrne that looks at the mirror universe of Star Trek and begins a series that starts with number one this week. From Image, Manifest Destiny number 6, second printing for that, new issue of Walking Dead as well. And from Marvel, Original Sin continues in Avengers number 29. There's a new series of Deadly Hands of Kung Fu that begins with a number one this week. Deadpool vs. Carnage, number 1, gets a second printing. Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 3, gets one as well, just like Magneto, number 2. If you got someone in your house going to camp this year and you're thinking about getting plans for that in a few weeks, well, grab the Archie 1,000-page comic bonanza this week. A ton of comics all in one package to get them through the summer. And Cryptozoic Man, number 2, 3, and 4, all get second printings this week as well. This and more waiting for you in a comic shop near you. We have a link of cool comic shops on the front of comicmix.com. You can try the comic book locator service at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK or a website called findacomicshop.com. Not a very promising picture when you look at the numbers for comic book sales in stores in April, especially when it comes to an analysis that shows that DC's market share has dropped for the first part of each year when you compare it to those in 2012 and 2013. DC's average market share in 2012 was about a little over 30%. Now it is just over 26%, and you can trace those numbers to growth for publishers outside of the big two, ones like Dark Horse and Dynamite, IDW, and of course Image. All that being said, Marvel had a pretty good April in comic book stores with new issues of Amazing Spider-Man, Original Sin, and Superior Spider-Man all making the top 10. The official top 10 best-selling comics in comic stores in April starts at number 10 with the weekly Batman Eternal number 4. At number 9, Batman Eternal number 3. Original Sin number 0 came in at number 8. First issue of the rebooted Hulk comes in at number 7. Batman Eternal number 2 came in at number 6. Number 5 best-selling book, Justice League number 29. Number 4 was Batman Eternal number 1. Batman number 30 was at number 3. Superior Spider-Man number 31 was the second best-selling title. And the number 1 book of the month, Amazing Spider-Man number 1 for Marvel. That does it for right now, but we'll be back before you know it here in a few days. All easy to find, of course, on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. And the podcast is also in the iTunes podcast directory as well. Plus, there's plenty of pop culture right now, 24 hours a day at GetThePointRadio.com. Listen right there or take us on any mobile device, Apple or Android, with a free app called iNet Radio. Get that in your app store or at iNetRadio.com. See you back here in a few days.
Get the Point Radio.